Good morning. It is February 22nd, 2026, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is Innocence Lost. And my first reading comes from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. Then I'm going to skip to chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But did God say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden? And you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. My New Testament reading comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. Innocence lost. One of the fleeting beauties of life is to see joy in the innocence of children. Innocence is truly wonderful and beautiful to behold. Children have no idea of right or wrong. They experience hunger and discomfort and sleepiness. The fascination and delight for many children is curiosity. And in their curiosity, they are seeking the experience of new things, taste and touch and behold and to smell. But sadly, the days of innocence are few. They are few and fleeting. At some point, children will grow up eventually learning about good and evil. At some point, they will realize that actions do have consequences despite what so many think and believe today. At some point, they will come to the realization that ultimately some things are true and some things are not true. And such of an example would be the Tooth Fairy, the Great Pumpkin, and the veracity and the truthfulness of political parties and politicians. At some point, children realize what so many of their friends believe is not right, and sometimes what they believe is very hurtful. Maybe the most famously debated, studied, and commented story in the Bible is the story of Innocence Lost, and it is the very one that I read from Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. It is the story of Adam and Eve. The loss of innocence is universally acknowledged across the world and down through the ages. And maybe, just maybe, one of the world's most famous poems about this loss of innocence comes from an author by the name of John Milton called Paradise Lost. Human beings have mourned the consequences for innocence lost. And those consequences have been devastating. Not only devastating for individuals, but has been devastating for the history of humanity. And really, I would go so far as to say the natural world. Can you fathom or imagine when you did not have the knowledge of good and evil? You know, I remember as a teenager watching for the very first time by myself in our home in the living room a movie called The Bible. Now, that movie was released in 1966, and it was directed by John Huston, and it had an all-star cast of actresses and actors from that era. The ones that are most notable that I remember are Richard Harris, John Huston, George C. Scott, Peter O'Toole. You had Ulla Burgard, and you had Zoe Salas. Those are just some of the names from that movie. But what I remember when I was watching the movie The Bible, and it came to that early scene in the Garden of Eden, and I remember muttering to myself as Eve reached out to the forbidden fruit, I remember saying to myself, "Don't do it." Now, I wasn't a biblical theologian. I wasn't a philosopher. I had very little knowledge of the Bible as a teenager in high school. And if my memory serves me correct, I was a junior. And yet I knew enough where I muttered those words to myself, "Don't do it." Innocence lost. What would it feel like today? What would it feel like right now for you and I to be pure in innocence once more? How would we act and what would we do with that innocence regained? What would we not do and what would we do instead? Just think how different your life would be if you lived and acted in a state of purity and innocence. The story of the first two human beings, Adam and Eve. Eve is the mother of all living, and Adam is man from the very earth. It's a story of mourning and of sadness for many people, including myself. It's a story of lost innocence for all of us that speaks to us of a deep, profound desire in each of us to return somehow, some way, back to Eden and the way life used to be. Now, if that is not true, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why do so many adults revel and cherish the antics of children? And yet, to use two popular cliches, the cat is out of the bag or the genie is out of the bottle. And that is true for all of us. Innocence is wonderful in a child, but it doesn't work for us as adults who are grown up. There are two trains of thought come to mind when I say that, and both of those thoughts of mine originate from the New Testament. One you might have heard me say before And I often quote it from the very lips of Jesus, where he said to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And the other one comes from Paul to the Corinthian church, where he writes the following. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul's letter to the Romans is anything but childish. It is his magnum opus, his masterpiece in all his letters. The fact remains that we do know that there is good and evil. And furthermore, we also know what is right and just and what is wrong and unjust. To quote C.S. Lewis, we need to plant our flag and live and have our being on the standard of righteousness and truth. And he wrote those very words in a book called The Problem of Pain. And yet, we live in a world and we know people who gravitate and side with Pontius Pilate in the deep, dark waters of moral relativism. When Pilate is talking to Jesus and Jesus answers his questions, Pilate says, in three words, what so many people believe today, what is truth? The serpent, if you prefer, the great deceiver, speaks in many tongues when he says through people, quote, well, who's to say what's right and wrong? Or maybe my favorite, that's your opinion. Who died and made you God? Or the classic when it comes to interpreting documents and books, and in particular the Bible, people will always say, well, that's your interpretation. Despite these objections and our loss of innocence, the fact remains. We do know right from wrong, good from evil. We know it from our life experiences. We know it from the Holy Bible. We know it from our conscience. And we also know it from Christian tradition and the centuries of knowledge gained from the apostles to the church fathers to the great Christian creeds that have been penned. We also know it when we look at our hymnals, because our hymnals are a wellspring of good theology with profound truths that sing and meditate and reflect upon the goodness and the mercy and the grand doctrines of God. Consider, for example, we know as adults that stealing is wrong, and that it is against not only the laws of God, but it's also against the laws of society. We know, for example, that lying is wrong, even though it seems to be epidemic and ubiquitous in our society. From little white lies that we all say and give a cursory glance to possibly the egregious lies perpetrated upon the public by governments and by corporations, costing billions and billions and billions of dollars. My goodness gracious, the most recent example of this egregious lying is the stealing and theft of taxpayer dollars in the state of Minnesota by the Somalians who come to this country, and they have defrauded our government, you and I, of billions of dollars through their lies. And we find out that there were government officials in the state of Minnesota, both state and federal, who turned a blind eye to this corruption. We also know what is right and good as well. We know what brings us joy and satisfaction, and that is often found when we help others. Whether we give them some food, whether we help them with clothing, or maybe we help them find shelter. And sometimes, even though there's a lot of reticence and wisdom against it, sometimes we help people out with money. We also know good and what is right when we offer sound advice that is good for our children and really for all children. And when we offer good, sound advice, we feel good within ourselves. The relief in being honest and forthright with others and not being evasive and duplicitous speaks to itself. At various points and moments in our lives, we long for the age of innocence. But as I said earlier in this message, the cat is out of the bag. The genie is no longer in the bottle. It's human nature. We can blame others for our situation to the end of time. From the fruit in the garden to the serpent to the hapless Adam as well, we all have knowledge of good and evil before us. And yet I'm going to end on a very positive note. Hopefully it will offer encouragement to you. And I'm going to quote again C.S. Lewis, where he said the following: "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." Amen.